Our next guest needs very little introduction. Senator Bernie Sanders ran for president in 2016 and lost the Democratic nomination to Hillary Clinton. He was just elected to his third term as senator from Vermont, and he's written a new book out tomorrow called Where We Go From Here, 2 Years in the Resistance. Senator Sanders joins us from New York. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
And I'm going to start with a question just to get it out of the way. You've been doing some interviews about this book. You've said you will run for president again if you conclude that you are the strongest candidate who can defeat Donald Trump. When do you think you will make that decision?
Well, I think given the fact we have just come off of a brutal midterm election, I think the American people have a little bit tired of campaigns, and I think we got to give them a break. But what we are doing is now talking to people all over this country to see if our message of taking on the billionaire class, health care for all through a Medicare for all single-payer system, raising the minimum wage to a living wage, $15 an hour, demanding that the wealthy and the powerful start paying their fair share of taxes, dealing with climate change, et cetera, if that message is going to resonate throughout the country. And that's what we're ascertaining right now.
How would you describe the results of the midterm elections? Do you think that it was a big victory for Democrats or not as good as you would have liked?
Well, I would have liked, obviously, bigger. As a member of the United States Senate, I would very much have liked the Democrats to gain control over the Senate. But given the terrain that they had to cover and the seats they had to defend, they did fairly well. On the other hand, Democrats won almost 40 seats for the U.S. House, 7 governor seats, and hundreds of legislative seats in state capitals all over America. So I think it was a strong victory for Democrats. I think it tells me that in many parts of this country, people are not only angry with Trump's tax breaks for billionaires, his attempt to throw 32 million people off of health insurance, his ignoring the painful reality of climate change, but they are also, even more so, sick and tired of his divisiveness, his hateful rhetoric, his attempting to divide us up by the color of our skin or our sexual orientation or the country we come from or our religion. And I think people are saying we don't want more of that. We have serious problems in this country. Let us come together to address them.
What do you think happened in Florida and in Georgia with the losses for Andrew Gillum and Stacey Abrams, both of whom ran as full-on progressives and couldn't make it over the top?
Well, if you look historically at Florida and Georgia, I think you will conclude Gillum got over 49% of the vote, which is a very, very strong showing. Stacey Abrams, who ran a brilliant campaign, got over 48% of the vote in Georgia. This is an African-American woman running on a progressive agenda in Georgia. That's pretty good. And I think when you look at long-term and when you look at Florida, which, by the way, during that election passed a ballot item which will give the vote to people who have been convicted of felonies and who served their time, I think what Andrew did and what Stacey did is kind of transform politics in Florida and in Georgia and I think in the South. So obviously, you know, somebody who had campaigned for both of them, I wish they had won. But I think no one should minimize the impressiveness of their campaigns.
You write in your book that the leadership of the Democratic National Committee tilted the playing field during the primary in 2016 in favor of Hillary Clinton's campaign. Do you think that the DNC's problems have been fixed going forward?
We have worked really hard. I mean, if you read the book, it talks about a number of things. It talks about the need for us to develop a progressive agenda that speaks to the needs of working families. It speaks to the need to revitalize American democracy and increase the voter turnout. And I'm very delighted by the kind of turnout we had in the midterm election, and especially the fact that so many more young people appear to be getting involved in the political process. The other thing that I do talk about is the Democratic Party has got to come back to its roots. In my view, it has got to be the party of working families. It has got to take on the big money interests, Wall Street, the drug companies, the insurance companies, and stand for the needs of working families in urban America, in rural America, and all across this country. And what I did, and in fact we reached an agreement with Hillary Clinton after the ending of the primary, to work together to bring about long-needed reforms within the Democratic Party. And one of those reforms was ending the absurdity where in 2016, before the first primary vote was cast in Iowa, Hillary Clinton had already secured 500 superdelegate ballots. And that has ended. We work with the DNC, and I think members of the DNC recognize that that process was not democratic. And as a result of the reforms, superdelegates will not be voting on the first ballot at the Democratic National Convention.
So do you think it'll be a fair process in 2020?
I do. I mean, okay. I think clearly it's a – you know, what should happen is if there is a state where one candidate gets 75% of the vote, that candidate should have 75% of the ballots coming from that state. What happened in 2016, there were states that I won by a pretty large majority where – actually, I didn't even have a majority of the delegates.
What would your reaction be if a billionaire like Michael Bloomberg or Tom Steyer ends up running for president as a Democrat or even getting the nomination of the Democratic Party?
Well, I know Tom Steyer and I know he's a very decent guy. I don't know Mayor Bloomberg. He did a good job as mayor of New York City. But the issue here that concerns me, and it's not just those guys, it is what's happening politically in this country today, and that is as a result of this disastrous Supreme Court decision on Citizens United, we have a very corrupt, and let me underline that word, corrupt campaign finance system where billionaires, Koch brothers, Sheldon Adelson are attempting to buy elections and sometimes with great success. To my mind, American democracy is not about billionaires buying elections or running for office buying the seats for themselves. It's about one person, one vote. It requires us to end voter suppression, which we're seeing all over this country. It requires us to end the extreme gerrymandering we're seeing all over this country. So when I talk about revitalizing American democracy, it is restoring power to ordinary people and not just wealthy and powerful individuals.
What do you think the tax rate should be on the wealthiest people in this country?
Well, I can't give you a rate right now, but this is what I do believe. I believe that the Democrats should rescind the $1 trillion in tax breaks that they gave to the top 1% as a result of Trump's tax bill. We have today a massive level of income and wealth inequality. Three of the wealthiest people today own more wealth than the bottom half of the American people. Well over 40% of all new income goes to the top 1%. So what we need when we talk about making public colleges and universities tuition-free, when we talk about a Medicare-for-all single-payer system and guaranteeing health care to all people, rebuilding our crumbling infrastructure, that is going to require money. And I think it is absolutely fair that in a moment in history where we have so much income and wealth inequality, that the wealthy and private, large, profitable corporations start paying their fair share of taxes.
Bernie Sanders, you talk a lot about economic issues, but you also in this book talk about foreign policy a bit. And I want to ask you, you say that the wars in the Middle East that we've been fighting ever since 9/11 have not been very successful. How would you change the fight against ISIS and terrorism around the world?
Obviously, this is not, you know, no one has a simple solution. But what this is what I fear very much. What I fear is that the United States could well get sucked in to a never-ending conflict in the Middle East where you have Saudi Arabia and Israel on one side, you have Iran and their allies on the other side, and we cannot allow that to happen. Essentially, what I think is that in terms of the Middle East, the United States has got to play in an even-handed way, do our best to bring people together. And I'll tell you, when we talk about foreign policy, let me just mention one issue which is very much on my mind, and that is right now we have an unspeakable humanitarian disaster in Yemen. I hope that this very week, Senator Mike Lee of Utah and I will be able to bring a privileged resolution to the floor of the Senate calling for the end of U.S. involvement in Yemen. And I think clearly, given the involvement of the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia in the murder of the dissident Saudi journalist, Khashoggi, that we need to rethink our relationship with that country.
Do you think that the Trump administration should insist that the Crown Prince be removed from power?
Well, it's not our job to insist anything, but I think we should very much make it clear that the relationship between the United States of America and a government which was clearly complicit in the cold-blooded murder of a dissident, a government which does not tolerate dissent, a government in Saudi Arabia which treats women as third-class citizens, a government which has a very provocative and dangerous foreign policy, which got them into Yemen. Yeah, I think we have to fundamentally rethink our relationship with the Crown Prince and that government.
Finally, I just want to ask you, after the long battle between you and Hillary Clinton in the last election, how often do you talk to her now? Do you have a relationship with her?
I don't talk to her very often, you know, but I think I worked as hard as I could after I lost the primaries. I was in dozens of states all over this country campaigning, doing everything I could to see that Donald Trump was defeated. You know, obviously, Secretary Clinton and I have our differences, but I understood and she understood that we have got to work together not only to defeat Trump,
right,
but also to bring the Democratic Party together around an agenda that speaks for the working people of this country.
That is Bernie Sanders. His new book is called Where We Go From Here, 2 Years in the Resistance. Senator, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.